This is Quick Shots with Will of Two Drunken Penguins and Antarctican's Anonymous Radio Production. Oh my, oh my. Yes, I am finally back. It is well overdue to have done one of these for each and every one of you, my faithful 5 listeners at the moment. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, it is I, Will of Two Drunken Penguins, bringing you Quick Shots. And I must say, I have to apologize for those that have been waiting and wondering when there was going to be a new Two Drunken Penguins episode, or even these wonderful little quick shots that I've been attempting to bring you. And I'm sorry that it has taken this long. We are scheduling conflicts are mainly the cause, plus, you know, gotta work for a living. And family, so nonetheless, I have not forgotten about you, faithful. I am here now to give you some great news, and that is for the next 3 nights, 4 in total, including tonight, because yes, I am recording this in the PM. More than likely, y'all weren't going to listen to it until the following day. That's fine. But just so you know, the rest of this week, I will be doing a show per day. Because I just have so much stuff that has been going on in the world of mainly football. There's so many different things going on in football right now. The season's in full swing, and topics are just, they're generating themselves, and we just have not had a chance to discuss them. But here I am now, and we are going to change all that. But first and foremost, before we even get into any NFL topic, I have to sell you, as an editorial, I guess, moment. In my last podcast, I had completely blanked on a name in which I was trying to reference in regards to talking about fights. And it was when Pedro Martinez and the Red Sox were fighting the Yankees. And I could not remember the assistant manager coach name. So it was actually the late, great Don Zimmer is who I was referring to. So I need to take care of that. As well as I mispronounced the WNBA player's name. So, her actual name is Brittany Griner, not Grainer. I said Grainer. My mistake. Sorry. But this actually brings me to a first topic of sorts. You know that WNBA does not do fights. I mean, it is well known. They don't do fights. You never hear about fights. And then this, it's not really, I can't sit here and call it an actual fight. The different sports outlets, they tried to, but it wasn't a fight. It was an attempt. I mean, I've seen better beatdowns on World Star. I've seen better beatdowns by Ron Artest, a.k.a. Mecha World Peace, or whatever the hell he's calling himself nowadays. I've seen better fights from hell. Calvin Johnson, Megatron had a better fight. Aqib Talib with either, I believe it was Crabtree. They had a fight. Dude yanked his chain. I mean, he was like, nah, you don't get to wear this no more. Give me that shit. Took his fucking chain. That was more of a fight than what took place in WNBA a few, oh, yeah, several weeks ago now. But it's funny because a few days after that debacle, that chase and swinging wildly at air, because that's all that took place. That is what happened. It was no one connected. Brittany didn't connect with her intended target. No one connected. There was some shoving, but I mean, there was literally no closed fist, boom, upside somebody's head, or even a body blow. I mean, it was not a fight. I'm sorry to break it to the people that decided to make it bigger than it really was, because they went and actually had a sit-down interview with her on ESPN a few days after the fact. They sat down with her and interviewed her about this quote-unquote fight. That to me is pathetic. I'm sorry. It's mind-boggling that they would actually sit there and be like, oh, so please tell us about this. What was going on? And Brittany's gonna sit there and say, oh, it actually started 3 games back against her, and she was on a completely different team. She chronicled this thing, but there still wasn't anything that occurred. This is why I said, if you can't fight, don't waste your time. I mean, Dana Taurasi wasn't playing in the game. If I remember correctly, I saw her in street clothes on the sideline. She comes up, tries to break up this, at that point, shouting match, and she got suspended. I mean, it just. WNBA officials, they went overboard in their suspensions. I can tell you that much for damn sure. They damn near suspended, it seemed like, half of each team, and nothing occurred. There was nothing worthwhile for it. And so it irritates me to see that they've. I mean, I'm talking about it just because of the fact that it irritated me by how much they made out of it. Like they made such a big deal in regards to something that really was nothing. And that, I mean, it didn't draw any more viewers to the WNBA. Is anybody actually watching this sport? If it wasn't for ESPN showing highlights of these games, and I mean, their highlights are what, 15 seconds long for the game? And that's even for the championship game. They'll do like 15 seconds. It's not 30 seconds, it's not a full minute. You know, it's nothing spectacular. It's a blip on the screen, even for ESPN, and they're the ones that are really trying to keep the sport alive. I mean, you can watch the games. I see them show up on, you know, the TV guide occasionally. But who's truly watching them? It's disappointing to see women's sports not get their. they're not, let's see how I properly want to say this. Professional women's sports are not getting their due. But unfortunately, it's not necessarily because that they're not good, but they're not, I don't know, maybe it's just they're promoting. The promotions being done for women's sports in the professional realm are just not getting properly promoted. There's nothing that seems that exciting about it. I'm sorry. I know that this is quick shot. This is my biased opinion. More so than it'll ever be on the main Two Drunken Penguins show. But I can't help but sit here and say, if I tried to watch women's sports, I mean, I know the U.S. soccer team went out there, went bonkers. A lot of people tried to watch, or at least cheered for them. Most people just simply kept tabs. They're like, yeah, they're going to go out there and they win. Okay, look, hey, they won. And they did it in convincing fashion. Cool. Our men's soccer team sucks. We do some semi-good one time, and then we fall off the map again. But it's soccer. To me, I can't get behind soccer anyhow. Sorry, international people. I just don't like soccer. They tear up a perfectly good football field. And that's American football, not football, like everybody likes to still try to say, oh, but you're talking about football. No, I'm not. American football and soccer are two different things, and American football is so much more entertaining. Again, that's just me. Yeah, you know, I'm entitled to my opinion, right? But the problem with women's sports, it doesn't get publicized enough. The games just don't seem to be as entertaining. I mean, yeah, these girls are good at their sports. I'm not trying to take anything away from their skill levels, what they've gone through to get to these points in their careers. I'm not trying to dismiss any of that. What I'm just trying to say, point blank, is not as entertaining. If there was some type of level to it, of entertainment that just, it could reach out and grab a larger demographic, it needs to. They need the help in being able to reach more people. Whether it's, you know, I don't know. I'm really struggling to try to figure out why, but what they really need to help spur interest. I don't know if it's going to need for WNBA, they're going to need a LeBron James type to be in the league, or a Kobe Bryant type, a woman in the league, and actually have good competition between two high-level athletes, you know, something that you could truly mark on your calendar, because they're going to play, and it's going to be a dogfight. It's hard to pinpoint it, but I know one thing, you cannot rely on fighting to be your goal if your fights are going to look like what happened a few weeks ago. That just That is not going to be the spark that y'all need to get rolling. You've been around, WNBA has been around for 10, 15 years now? Something crazy like that. I know it's been around for a while, but it's they just I don't know. Send me a message. Somebody send me a message after you listen to this. Give me your thoughts on it. Tell me what women's sports, what do you think women's sports need to be able to draw a larger demographic of viewers so that it can actually become just as good as the men's? Just as, enthralling, something that you just can't help but watch. All right. I'm gonna take a little break. I'm gonna come back with the main first topic I was really going to be talking about tonight. I kind of went off the rails on that a little bit with WNBA, but nonetheless, stick around, folks. I'll be back. All right, now on to the topic, actual topic for tonight, which has been, oh man, this topic has been mentioned a couple times already by myself, and then I'm fairly certain we have said something about this on the main show, Two Drunken Penguins. But it's one of the largest stories that has been going on for many months now, and that, of course, is Antonio Brown. AB. Oh, man. Look, I need to recap just for my own sanity's sake. I need to recap this entire from when everything really started to turn into a shit show with him up until now. So, let's take you back to about week 16 of last season when he went out there and just he didn't have that great of a game. It was low production. I don't know. It was very much lacking the typical AB experience that Steeler fans had grown accustomed to say the least. And then, next thing you know, the Steelers announced that Juju Smith-Schuster is team MVP. This is voted on by all the members of the team. It's not voted on by the fans. It's not, the hierarchy of the organization saying, "Hey, this guy was our best guy." No. It's all the players in the locker room voting who was the best guy for us this year. They say it was Juju. AB took great offense to this. Great offense to a second-year receiver, quote-unquote, outdoing him by getting this award. He thought he was worthy of it. Juju gets it instead. So he throws a little bitch fit. Next thing you know, he's not even playing the final game of the season. Fast forward a couple weeks, he wants out. He wants out of Pittsburgh. He just signed this great contract with Pittsburgh, becoming one of the highest paid wide receivers in the league. And nope, I want out. I can't take it anymore. Da 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 da. Get me out of here. Okay, cool. So the Steelers end up finding a partner in a trade. Initially, it was going to be the Buffalo Bills. It was really looking like it was coming together and they were going to ship him off, but then AB steps up and says, "Nope, not happening. I'm not going there." Okay. So they partner up with the Oakland Raiders and ship them off. Steelers get stuck with like $22 million that they still have to pay this fool. But, you know, the headache's gone, the drama is lessened because he is gone. So maybe it's worth $22 million. Whatever. He goes to Oakland. Makes this huge show of it. Huge show. I mean, he's got his social media crew with him. He goes up and he, like, gives this great big bear hug to Carr at Carr's house. And he's like, "Oh man, I'm so pumped about this. I'm ready. Let's do this." Da 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 da. Then training camp comes around. What's he do? Shows up in a hot air balloon to not practice. This man barely was on the practice field with the Oakland Raiders the entire preseason. Why? Because, oh, I went to get cryotherapy and didn't wear the proper footwear, and now I've got frostbite on my feet. They're all blistered up, can barely walk. Oh, woe is me. Then he goes on to, "Oh, this helmet of mine. It's. I need my old helmet. I've got to wear my old helmet." No, you can't wear your old helmet. I'll get into this later on. I've got some. Something's been nagging me about that whole thing. But anyhow. So, he's refusing to practice because of this helmet. Ugh. All right. So, you finally are getting right into the season. Season is about to start. Right around the corner. And the man has finally got his feet healed up. Finally found a helmet that he's accepted. It was a big deal. It was a big deal. You know, "Oh, I've got this helmet. I'm happy now." All right. Oakland Raiders, fine them. Which they should. Because half of his problems that he wasn't on the field for were created by him. Not excused, not worthy of, you know, "Oh, he's just this great player. Let's all bow down and kiss his blistered feet." No. He brought it on himself. So they should rightfully fine him. And they did. They fined him like $57,000 in total, I believe it was. So he gets all pissed off, throws it on Instagram. He's like, "Oh, I see how it is. Y'all just, you know, being mean, hateful, whatever. I don't need this." So then he goes and confronts the GM, Mike Mayock. He confronts him. He says, starts yelling at him about, "Oh, I don't, about the fine and this, that, and the other." Apparently calls him a cracker at some point. That just, Absurd shit just adding up here. Just absurd. So, and then he like is being separated by players from the GM and ends up punting a football because, you know, nothing shows how mad you are and what type of damage you're going to do to a person than kicking a football. Like, I can only imagine. This is going to be your head, punt. And it probably traveled like 5 yards end over end. I'm exaggerating more than likely, but nonetheless, point remains the same. So then, oh, well, we're going to suspend him for his behavior. Fantastic, you should. He's acting like a little bitch. Suspend him. Please, by all means, it's in your right as a team organization because he's being detrimental to the team. The whole works. Suspend his ass. Comes out the following day. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I don't know. It's, you know, so theatrical. And people like myself, who see all this, and we say, he doesn't mean a damn word of it. He's just trying to make sure he gets to play. Sure enough. Oh, he's going to play for us starting Monday night because that's when we have our season opener. It's Monday night. So he's going to play for us. I'm going to start. We're all good. Until that next fine showed up. And next fine was like $250,000 for his actions towards the GM. Doing shit that you're not supposed to do. This isn't WWE. You can't go out there and talk shit to the boss and expect repercussions not to occur. This is NFL. It's actually a business. It's not a TV show. Even if you were on Hard Knocks, it's not a TV show. So he gets his next fine and says, fuck it, release me. And they did it. They actually released him. Which, to me, bad call. I shouldn't have done that. You should not have given him exactly what he wanted. What you should have done is sat him for the season. Period. Sat him for the season. Suspend him for the season. You want to act like a baby, we can treat you like a baby. You don't get to play. That is what it is. But here's another kicker. If he had lasted onto the team just, what was it, 2, 3 days? All he had to do was make it till Tuesday, and he would have gotten $30 million. He would have gotten his guaranteed $30 million. But he couldn't make it until Tuesday. So that got null and void. No more. No 30 million. No large amount of money because that's apparently all that AB's been concerned about was money. That's what he was letting everybody else think. Maybe he's not that worried about money. Maybe it's all just talk. It's hard to get a read on this guy anymore. He used to be one of the most humble players on the field. Went out there, did his job, was like, you know, call God, I did great, you know, all praise goes to him, not me. I'm just here having fun. Then, it's like, as soon as he got that concussion from Burfict, he became AB, Tony Toe Tap. Whatever other nicknames that he's come up with, he's become a persona. He's not himself anymore. Or at least, he may be himself, but he's not what he used to be. That the Steeler fans knew him as. I mean, he was always kind of standoffish. You never really heard about him doing a lot with the community. Juju, you hear about him doing stuff nonstop. I mean, he's throwing, you know, punts parties in a park. He's hanging out with old folks. I mean, he is doing stuff for Pittsburgh. He loves the place. That's the type of person that you want on the team. You want somebody that is going to be fully committed to the team, to the city in which the team resides. That's what you like to see. At least I do. As a fan, you like to see somebody giving it his all. That's who you want. AB wasn't that. AB hasn't been that. But he goes and he gets released. So, la-di-da, happy for him. Only to be instantly, I mean, we're talking mere hours. Not even that many of hours. It was just, it seemed like as soon as I got the notification that Antonio Brown has been released from the Raiders, I turn around and I get another notification saying, Antonio Brown signs with the Patriots. Are you fucking kidding me? What? It, as fast a turnaround as that occurred, I can't sit here and not think collusion. Like, there has to have been, because if he could have, his ass would have gone to the Patriots straight from Pittsburgh. But no, let's go to a team that sucks. I mean, there's no two ways about it. The Raiders suck. Yeah, they managed to get that win on Monday night last week. Amazingly enough, Denver went out there and shit their pants. I don't know what the fuck was going on with Denver. But, you know, Oakland got a win. Wow. I don't expect Oakland to get many wins. But, you know, it is what it is. I will talk about various teams and my thoughts and expectations for them later on this week. But as for right now, we're talking about AB and the fact that just his odd behavior seems like he was orchestrating his leave from the Raiders as soon as he got traded. It just, he wanted to be a Patriot, he got to be a Patriot. He's getting $9 million guaranteed as long as he can keep from getting suspended. I don't quite see that his behavior, the way he's been going, is going to fly for very long in New England with Belichick. Is Belichick going to use him when he can? Sure. But, I mean, his very first game with the Patriots, he gets 8 targets, only catches 4 of them, for a measly 56 yards, and 1 touchdown. He did get a touchdown, and then they had him run the ball once for 5 yards. Okay, so you've got a total of 61 yards from scrimmage. Decent for your first game. But, I mean, I don't see AB being happy with the whole situation. I don't see him. I expect him to go out there and want more yards, reception, the whole works, touchdowns. It, because that's how he was in Pittsburgh. He wasn't satisfied with what he was getting. And he was getting a lot. I mean, he was constantly getting receptions, constantly getting yards, touchdowns. He led the team last year in touchdown receptions. I mean, but he felt he was being overshadowed by Juju. So I don't see how that type of personality is going to work up there in New England, because they don't play like that. It's just not their mantra. And then now he's got two different accusers out there of sexual abuse. One is remaining anonymous, but she's apparently an artist of some type, painting, I guess, or whatever. And where does he expose himself to her? But she doesn't seem too worried about pressing charges against him. Just kind of wants to cash in on the fact that this other lady came out and said, "I was sexually abused by Antonio Brown," and she was a trainer. I mean, that's pretty hefty accusations. I don't really want to dive into that type of stuff, but, you know, you can't. I don't really want to say he's guilty about doing any of the stuff that they're saying that he did, but with his recent rash of behavior that he's been exhibiting, it's hard not to look at the situation and be like, well, maybe it's true. And if it's true, then, I mean, you've gone from being known as the best wide receiver in the league, breaking all sorts of records, having all sorts of accolades, being a guaranteed first ballot Hall of Famer, even though you haven't won a Super Bowl. But, I mean, just your sheer numbers, you're going to go to the Hall of Fame, to possibly losing it all. Because if it comes out that this is true, that you really did do any of this stuff to these women, you're screwed, man. AB, you are screwed. I do not see the Hall of Fame ever knocking on your door and saying, "Hey, congratulations, you're in." This is more self-inflicted nonsense that you have perpetrated on yourself. It just truly, you can't sit and blame anybody for this except yourself. He's like just gone off the rails as far as I can, from everything that I'm reading, everything that I'm hearing about. It's just, to see where you were, AB, to see where you are now, you've changed. There's no two ways about it, and it's gotten so worse. Like, it has gotten so much worse for you, and it's disheartening. It really is, to see a man that had such potential, such greatness in him, to fall as he is falling. He might not necessarily think he's falling, because, "Oh, I'm with the Patriots, I'm playing with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Ooh, ah, ooh, look at me now. I'm still top of the world, baby." Nah. I mean, once again, as a Steelers fan, I'm glad you're not in our hair anymore. But Damn, dude. Yeah, I mean, you really fucking up. And then, after his first game completed with against Miami, the team did instruct for him not to talk to the media. Smart play, considering all the riffraff that's going on with him currently. But now the NFL might fine him because he didn't do his media duties. Mean, it's just, it's one thing after the next with this guy. He constantly is in the news. And the real kicker, I gotta add this in. The real kicker to me about all of it is every time AB is in the news, then it's gotta be at least the next day. You hear something from Le'Veon Bell. It's like, oh, hey guys, hey. Oh, I'm Le'Veon. I was part of the Steelers. I was a really good running back when I was with them. I took a year off, but I'm back now. I look at me. I've got something to say. Le'Veon, you're your own problem right now. I watched part of your game last night against the Browns, and the Jets look like shit. They do. They look like shit. They had, I mean, the off season actually looked rather promising for the team. All the guys that they got, on free agency, they drafted seem pretty good for them. The whole works. They actually seem like they might do a little something. I wouldn't go as far as saying that they were going to dethrone the Patriots as AFC East champs, but they would at least be competitive. But what I saw last night was just shame. It was sad. It was pathetic. It was just, you don't have an offensive line. You got blown up nonstop. Myles Garrett destroyed your quarterbacks nonstop. You were starting off with your second string, ended up with your third string, and if your third string went down, guess who's their quarterback at fourth? Le'Veon Bell. Or are you going to just run the Wildcat formation the entire season? Oh, man. And then they gave a shot near the end of the game on Le'Veon. Dude looks to be crying, and who can blame him? But then again, he chose to go to the Jets this offseason. That's the team that won him in free agency, was the Jets. And I sat here watching it, and I saw him go to the Jets. I saw the price tag that he agreed to, which was less than what the Steelers originally offered him last, that he decided, no, I don't want that. So, I mean, you take less money, you go to a worse team, and then you almost look like surprised that the team is as bad as they are. And the Steelers are having their own issues right now, so I can't say too much. But, I mean, At least the Steelers gave Seattle a decent run for their money once Mason Rudolph took the helm. What are the Jets? I don't. Le'Veon, bed. You decide to lay in it, so you get to enjoy all the fun and wonder that comes with it. Just like AB. This is what y'all wanted. This is what y'all get. AB, you're doing a whole hell of a lot of extra. And I feel bad for you to an extent. I mean, I don't because you're doing it to yourself. But I do just because of how good you used to be, how great you were, how just at least what you presented was just a fun loving. I'm in it for football. I just love the sport. I'm just here playing. I want to be an organization guy. I'm all about the organization. I'm here to be selfless. And then you've done a complete 180 in more or less the last. It hasn't even been a year that you've done this complete 180. And it's sad to see. Because, like I said, if, especially if these allegations are true that are coming out against you, man, your Hall of Fame bid, I don't see that ever happening now. And it's your fault. You can't blame it on anybody. You can't sit there and be like, oh, it's Big Ben's fault. Oh, it's Kevin Colbert's fault. Oh, it's Mike Tomlin's fault. Oh, you can't blame anybody on the Steelers. You have to look at yourself and be like, man, I fucked up. And just, that's what you're gonna end up having to live with. I feel bad for your kids. I mean, I'm sorry that they're having to deal with this. Because as a parent, you wouldn't want your kids to hear about your parents doing stuff like that. Because kids gotta go to school. This is national news. The other kids that those kids are going to school with are gonna be like, so your dad did what? I mean, who wants their kids to have to deal with that stuff? Just more random thoughts of mine. But I think on that, I'm going to have to wrap things up here. Get back with you just a little bit. That should do it for tonight. I've got plenty more though to discuss with you for the next couple of nights coming up. And I'll look forward to that time in which we get to share together, technically. But yeah. For me, I see a kitty cat walking across the driveway. What's up, cat? Me too. Cool. About to scare him. But anyhow, we trying to get things figured out for a main show here someday soon. But in the meantime, I hope you'll enjoy these quick shots that I'll be sending on out to y'all. We got, like I said, plenty more to discuss. Plenty more to discuss. I've got my thoughts on these holdouts and the outcomes of them. The just wild couple first weeks, and even some stuff about fantasy. I got some shows lined up for y'all to listen to, so hang tight. Hope y'all enjoy what you've been hearing so far. Remember, if you like it, share it. The only way to get the word out right now is word of mouth, so please, by all means, get it out there. Alright? And, as always, you've been listening to Will from Two Drunken Penguins, an Antarctican's Anonymous Radio Production. I'm out.